Kevin, I guess the question is, after seeing Alek Manoah against the Detroit Tigers and then seeing him tonight against a major league lineup, what's your takeaway? I think this is a big step back for Alek Manoah, don't you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, what was the expectations coming in tonight? Was it
well? My expectation was not that
domination?
It would take. Well, no, I did not expect 41 pitches in the first inning. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm, you know, being a little picky.
He was a called strike away from getting out of that with no run scored. I mean, let's be honest. The changeup to Soto, that's a strike.
Strike three. I gotta tell you this.
I'm not making excuses for it. Fastball command's not very good. Velocity was down. The slider, we mentioned the shape and, you know, just the late break on it and how tough the takes are. They weren't there. They're non-competitive. It gets back to the point where how long's the leash here, right? It's you sort of know what you're trying to figure out with him every time he goes out there. It's just the fact of how long you're going to let him try and figure it out. I mean, it's about winning baseball games, and they can't continue to try and piece it together and use three bullpen arms to cover six innings every time he starts. Just impossible. So, yeah, that for me will be the part of it is how long will they let him do it? How long will they let him try and go out there and figure it out? Because they're trying to win baseball games.
Now, here's the thing from my point of view about the Soto at-bat. With all due respect, if it takes you 15 pitches to get to that point, if it took you eight pitches to retire the leadoff hitter, you gave up a seven-pitch walk to Tatis Jr., I mean, I'm sorry, you don't get the benefit of the doubt from the umpire as far as I'm concerned. Like, I get it. The point is well made. Malachi Moore was awful tonight. He was awful for both teams. But, you know, I'm not buying into this whole that he was one pitch away from getting out of it. I'm not entirely certain about that. He'd still have to deal with Manny Machado, right? If you want to look at it that way, it seems to me, though, that everything we saw against the Detroit Tigers is pretty much undone in this game. The first strike percentage wasn't good. Again, he couldn't finish anybody off. It was non-competitive. There's no other way to put it.
He averaged about 30 pitches per inning. He had 10 three-ball counts. He faced 18 batters. Yep. He had 9 called strikes out of 92 pitches. Absolutely. I'm giving you that. I'm not saying anything other than that. And we can stop talking about the shape of the slider. Until we can fastball command the four-seamer and the two-seamer, you have to command that. It's the best pitch in baseball is a well-located fastball. It's never going to change. That sets up the slider. Well, we talk about the slider like he's going to throw 100 of them. No, he needs to command the four-seamer and the two-seamer. And until he consistently does that, I think it's going to continue to look sort of like it's looking now, up and down.
The San Diego Padres lit up the Blue Jays tonight in front of a sellout crowd. 9-1 in the first of a three-game series. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Not a lot going on for the Blue Jays in this game, Kevin. The San Diego Padres, I mean, you see a game like this, and it kind of makes you scratch your head about why the Padres are where they are in the standings.
Well, I think it tells you when Juan Soto's doing his thing, Manny Machado's doing his thing, you could tell why the ceiling is so high with this team. Just consistently they don't do enough of that, right? It's the Juan Soto trying to walk instead of trying to drive baseballs in gaps. Like, that's more consistent than what we're seeing from Juan Soto tonight. So, yeah, you can see how it could look if you're spreading all that out and seeing, you know, they're driving baseballs and, you know, they're Sanchez is hitting homers on fastballs out over the plate. Yeah, you could sort of see it. It's just consistently just not getting enough of it. Musgrove, I'm going to tell you straight up, that breaking ball he's got, good luck hitting that thing. Like, if he can consistently make it look like he's making it look – like, he's going to consistently be really good. It's the cutter. It's the curveball. It's the slider. He's got three pitches going three different directions. He can throw it to lefty or righty. Yeah, you can tell why he is now 8-0 in his last 10 starts with an ERA of well under 2. He's pretty good. Now it's just the offense will catch up. That's what I said. It'd be interesting to see what the Padres do, Jeff. Like, it's the National League. The National League's not the American League. If this lineup would start hitting a little with the rotation that they have, they could make some noise. Be interesting to see if they can do it.
If you're looking for some good news tonight, and we could always use some good news, take a look down at AAA. Relvis Martinez homered his first game tonight off of Tyler McGill. So homering off a dude with a little bit of major league service time. Not a bad way to introduce yourself to AAA again. Relvis Martinez promoted to AAA by the Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 91, the San Diego Padres bum rush the Jays. That's the only way to describe. Let's go to Chris in Edmonton. Whoa, hey, I hear the sirens, Chris.
What are you?
Can you do me a favor? Send them down to the Rogers Center so they can arrest Mitch White.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's bad pitching, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Please.
I
please. Please. All the way to the border.
Yeah,
anyhow.
That's true. Anyway, I want to say you and Barker do a great job on the podcast and on Blue Jays Talk. Listen to you guys every day when I can.
They're not coming after you, by the way, are they? Because I'm a little nervous.
No. That's just,
okay.
If some people in my neighborhood, they have security systems, and then when their security system goes off, it instantly triggers the firefighters to come to their house. It happens quite frequently. Anyway, so Manoah, what do you think? Do we give him another start, or do they send him back to AAA, and then do they bring Ryu up? Because Ryu's looking decent. I say decent. I mean, that's kind of a very risky thing, and then give Ryu a start, and then maybe hope that they can land somebody at the deadline here. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Thank you for the call. I mean, I don't think you have any choice. You do have to let him make his next start. Kevin, I mean, I don't know how you feel, but I don't, we'll hear what John Schneider says. I don't think that's a question. Hyunjin Ryu does make his start. What do we say? Friday he's starting in Buffalo. The Jays want to see five or six innings. They'd like to see 80 pitches, preferably 80 good pitches and five or six good innings. And if that's the case, I have no doubt that he'll make his next start in the majors from that point on. Kevin Gausman, we still need to see what happens there. He's going to throw a side session on Wednesday again. He skipped starts. He hasn't been pushed back. He skipped starts. I understand the MRI didn't show anything of concern. Anytime a dude is skipping starts in July, it's a concern. I mean, it just is. It's not a good thing. So, I mean, there are a bunch of things at work here I think we need to see before the trade deadline. And one of them, quite honestly, caller's right, Kevin, one of them you got to get a read on Alek Manoah, because if you want to get to where you need to go this year, the first step towards that is pitching. And, if you don't have a healthy Kevin Gausman, if Alek Manoah is not capable of at least shouldering enough of a load to the point where he can be the fifth starter, I mean, we know there's not a thing in the minor league, so you may be in a position where you're looking to add another pitcher. And you God help this team with the stuff they have to do in the bullpen and in the middle of the lineup. I hope they don't find themselves in a position, Kevin, where they got to focus on starting pitching. I just think that would be a shame.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's a competition now. I think between Yusei Kikuchi, Manoah, and Ryu, it's whoever's pitching better. Like one of the guys either going to the pen or one of the guys out. Like it's the six-man rotation. I'm not real sure that's going to happen. I mean, they'll have enough days off in there where they can finagle around and get the best out of Bassett. And if Kevin Gausman sounds like he's healthy, sounds like he'll make his next start in Seattle, hopefully, fingers crossed, he does that. He looks good. Like, it's a competition now, right? You're not married to anybody's feelings. You're not, it's okay. It'll be fine. Like, they've tried a lot with Manoah. Like, they've sent him down. They've pieced it together. They've found out what they think the problem is. Now, this is a big boy league. We've heard this. Yeah, there's no crying in baseball. So now it's performance driven. And again, it's with three dudes. If Ryu's pitching better than one of the other two, he'll be pitching. If you say Kikuchi's pitching better, give you a better chance. chance against that team, he'll be pitching. Like, yep. That, for me, is the way it's going to be. If you have to skip Manoah and don't pitch him for 10, 12 days, you just skip Manoah and don't pitch him for 10 or 12
Speaking
days.
Speaking
of
that,
that's just the way it is.
Let me ask you, how much of – again, I'm going to go fishing for excuses here for Alek Manoah. How much of what we saw tonight do you think could be as a result of downtime? Now, I know he is side young.
70 pitches.
He threw another great side session, 70-pitch side session, we're led to believe. How much of this do you – or do you chalk up any of this to a lack of regular work? You know, because that 10 days off is also goes along with the fact that – I mean, he's really kind of made one – he's made what, one real legit start in – What, boy, 8 weeks?
Boy, you're begging for excuses here, aren't you?
Well, I'm just like, asking you.
This is the only thing I know. Is you say Kikuchi had this exact same amount of time off, and all the velocities on all of his pitches were down. Today, with Alek Manoah, all of his velocity and all of his pitches were down. Like, that, for me, I think is where it's at. Location and grit and not having 10 three-ball counts has nothing to do with 10 days between starts.
John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, was asked about Alek Manoah's outing. This was his answer.
For one, line looked worse than I think he really was. A couple close pitches he didn't get, and that team does damage. I thought he got ahead of hitters, had a tough time putting them away, probably trying to be a little bit too fine, and obviously pitch count got, you know, driven up really high. But, you know, overall, I think it kind of looked worse than it really was. You know, slider kind of was hit and miss. It was a swing and miss, I think, to Tatis early, before he grounds the ball off the third base bag. I think it was just kind of not really executing as well as he can or as well as he has before. But I don't think it was, you know, I liked his demeanor. I liked his competitiveness, delivery, all that kind of stuff that we've been talking about. And I think just tonight was a tough night against a really good lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we'll take John at his word about the delivery. You know, I'd be lying if I said I'm enough of an expert to break down his delivery.
He had 10 three-ball counts. Delivery couldn't have been that good.
No, it could not have been that good. And, you know, again, we will say that was not the best job of umpiring we've ever seen. This is a hell of an ejection for Pete Walker, by the way.
Yeah,
that was a stealth ejection.
It's the most exciting part of the night was Pete Walker going out there. It's rare that you see a pitching coach get tossed when the umpire walks out and actually is trying to listen for him to talk bad about him.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Like that.
Yeah,
that,
it is.
That
well,
is.
I did
that
enjoy
is not,
it a
that,
little bit.
I did too. I kind of like everybody getting thrown out and everybody getting upset. That's what you're supposed to do as a pitching coach. You take up for your players.
Yep.
You know, again, John's doing the exact same thing. He's
sure
taking
he
up
is.
For his pitcher. The bottom line is it's win time. And when it's win time, I think you can throw out all the excuses and say this, that, and the other. Did he get it done? No. He threw three innings, 92 pitches, gave up however many runs, had 10 three-ball counts to 18 batters. He wasn't very good. They lost the baseball game. Right now, it's just not good enough.
Yeah, and I'm going to get back to the point that when it comes to not getting borderline pitches.
First inning, Jeff. First inning. It's not the third inning. It's not the fourth inning where, you know, you've earned that call. I continue to throw it in that one spot. These umpires behind the plate aren't good enough to do that. It's the strike or a ball. Call it a strike or a ball. Is it a ball? Is it a strike?
The home run came in the 24th pitch to the third hitter. Like, give me a break. He threw
three pitches after should have been strike three. It's 1-0 Jays instead of 2-1 Padres. Could have changed things. Just saying. Strike's a strike, a ball's a ball. It's not hard. You're not calling it from center field. It's the first inning.
So you're assuming – I don't know about the – anyhow, I'm not entirely certain that inning doesn't unravel, even if Soto doesn't hit the home run on him. Next batter, Machado.
Did he give up any other runs other than the two-run homer?
No, he did not. But he did throw 17 pitches. Well.
But he didn't give up another run?
Anyhow. Yeah, no, I don't
see what, what you're doing. Exactly. It's you're a big league umpire. Call a ball, a strike, a strike. The beauty of it, he wasn't good for the Padres either. Like, that's the beauty of it. I mean, if you're going to be consistently bad. And he was.
Let's go to Jim in Hamilton. Jim, I think is on the same page as Kevin when it comes to the umpiring.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have good news.
What?
Baltimore lost.
No,
Oh, well, is that good news? Barker's Orioles, you know.
Tampa Bay's losing. Yankees losing.
That is good news.
You guys have kind of covered a lot of what I was going to cover. Bad umpiring, bad plays in the field, ball hit in the bag. The question before the game, what was Manoah going to be like with 10 days off? I think a culmination of many different factors or storms kind of created the perfect storm for a mulligan tonight.
I'll pass that. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the call. Bark, I mean, I opened the door to the 10-day off thing.
I'm going to say he had about 13 starts of mulligans.
Yeah.
Like, this is the big leagues. I mean, you're basically, if you had 30 starts, you're going to have what? Well, you had normally right around 33 starts. You're going to have 11 good ones, 11 bad ones, and 11 okay ones. He's had quite a few that you wish, you know, he would have had a few more better ones and could throw the fastball where he wanted to go and would make the slider that much better. This gets back to the point. When Ryu gets here, it will be a competition. Whoever's pitching better will be pitching. I mean, this will take care of itself. You want to pitch again? Mm-hmm. Pitch better. Like, enough of the John coming on. I know that's what John's supposed to do, and God love him for it. He does that. What I like about John is he's not going to throw his player under the bus. He knows how hard Manoah's working. You know, he knows what he's been going through and what he's trying to do and all the things mechanically he's trying to get in line. And, you know, we're going to finish these things and we're going to have the four-seamer and the two-seamer go where it wants to go. But the reality of it is you got 67 games left. You got to win a bunch of those. And if Alek Manoah is not one of the guys that can help you do that, and Ryu and Yusei Kikuchi is, and if you have to go out and get another guy that's an older guy who can give you five innings and a chance for a lineup to have a big inning, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, I think the biggest fear for the Blue Jays is that the stuff you need to do to get Alek Manoah right again needs to be done in an off season. That there's so much to this that there's no quick fix. And if that's the case, you got to find that out for sure soon and pivot off that, because you've talked about this a lot. They waited a long time to make a call on Alek Manoah. Among his losses during that time were six to AL East teams. You finish your schedule against a ton of AL East teams. Like you have to give Alek Manoah another start. Maybe you have to give him another couple of starts. But I'm with you. It's a competition. Yeah. The leash is real short here. The leash is real short. And I need to at least see enough to make me think that Alek Manoah, again, I'm not asking him to be the ace of the staff. Alek Manoah has to be good enough to be the fifth starter right now. That's what we're talking about. He has to be good enough to be the fifth starter.
Jeff, can you explain to me where the velocity on the fastballs are at?
Like, it was down really almost a mile. This is a great point. He had 10 days off, and his fastball velocity was down half a mile an hour in the four-seamer, almost a full mile an hour in the two-seamer. That's what 10 days off. That shouldn't happen.
Well, he threw 70 pitches on Friday, two up and downs. You would think the velocity would be there. Like, he should be well-rested. That would be the one thing for me that I'd be a little worried about, right? He needs the extra little gear to get away with some bad sliders or a bad located elevated four-seamer to a right-handed hitter who can hit an elevated four-seamer. He needs the extra gear, and for whatever reason, he doesn't have it to go to.
416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-666-0590-91. The San Diego Padres beat the Toronto Blue Jays tonight in front of a sellout crowd, a nice crowd, at the Rogers Center. The second game of the series is tomorrow at 7:07. A reminder that the third game of this series, it's a Thursday afternoon game. The Jays will be hopping on their charter after that and going out to the West Coast. Thursday's game is a 1:07 first pitch. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Back to the phone lines. We'll take a tour of the out-of-town scoreboard as well. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Time now for the Major League Standings Watch, presented by Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19-plus play responsibly. Ontario only. It would have been a good night, Kevin Barker, for the Toronto Blue Jays to win a ball game tonight. Alas, it was not to be, a 9-1 loss to the San Diego Padres. As we take a look around the out-of-town scoreboard, the L.A. Dodgers had their way with Orioles. Your Dodgers had their way with your Orioles. 10-3, the Dodgers beat the Orioles. Texas is currently leading Tampa Bay 5-3. The Oakland Athletics are up 3-0 on the Boston Red Sox. Don't count on that game finishing that way. And the L.A. Angels are leading the Yankees 3-1. You probably can count on that game finishing that way. So as we look at the standings right now, with those games still being played, my Tampa Bay Rays are 16-37. They've got a comfortable game, and they've got a comfortable game and a half lead over the Baltimore Orioles. Mr. Barker's Orioles are 57-37. My mom's Blue Jays are 53-42. They're six out in the AL East race. They're still five up in the wild card standing. The Boston Red Sox are 51-44, and everybody shed a tear for the poor New York Yankees. They are 50-45. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Steve in Toronto, you think you know what's wrong with Alek Manoah.
Hey, guys, what's up?
You are.
Jeff, I think you summed it up well, man. This isn't a quick fix. He shouldn't be called up. Whose call was to call him up after 3 weeks? That's a good question. Whose call was that to bring him up when he's not ready? Jays were rolling, going. You know, they're playing well. They won 7 out of 8, 8 out of 11. And this performance, this is another downer like we've seen all year. They're playing good. You get the Manoah performance. The infielders and the outfielders are restless out there because they're watching this. You know what I mean? You're not on your toes. You're creating errors. You're not on your toes. You don't want to start Pearson for the fifth spot. Get Skip Pearson. Roll with
it. Well, I mean, he would need to be
stretched out in order to get that spot. Three and four, whatever. But it better
can't do that.
This is hard to watch. This is hard to watch.
Well, I mean, we've had two Alek Manoah starts since he's come back. This one was not very good, and he had an okay start against a crap team, pretty much. But I am with you on this. I mean, this can't carry on to the middle of August, right? This isn't, Kevin, I'll bring you in here. This can't go on until the middle of August or something like that. We've seen John Schneider basically turn Alejandro Kirk into a backup catcher because he isn't hitting. I think the rubber to a certain degree has met the road with Alejandro Kirk right now. Danny Jansen's hitting. Danny Jansen's going to get more playing time. I think I've said this. I know Barker doesn't agree with me, but I do think that if Dalton Varsho if his major offensive contribution is a bunt when you're down 6-1, if stuff like that keeps up, I mean, there's a place for him in the team, obviously, and he's an everyday player. But if he's not contributing offensively, maybe I need to find another outfielder that I can platoon with him. Or maybe I need another left-handed bat in here. Barker's right. It's going to be a competition between Kikuchi, Manoah, and Ryu once Hyunjin Ryu is back. And I would suggest, Kevin's probably a one-start competition. And if Hyunjin Ryu comes back and is good and can give whoever can give the Jays 5 2/3, I think they would take that right now from these three guys.
Well, there's a couple of things. We know why they called him up. They called him up because there was rumblings from the other four guys that the four-man rotation thing is not going to work. And we've tried to do this for a month. It's not our fault that you don't have anybody else. You don't have any other big league pitcher who can try and give you that. Then you see that, no matter how he looked in his starts, it was more about the process and, the conditioning and, it's coming out of the hand and the strike once and all those things. That's sort of what it sort of comes down to. So I think that's a combination of a couple of things, and that's why you're seeing him. Again, I get back to that. It's a competition now. You got three guys, whoever two of those are doing well, the other one's sort of the odd guy out. You pitch him when you have to pitch him, and that's just the way it is. I'm with you. It's about winning now. If you need to go out and get you another left fielder, you got to get you another left fielder. You got to go out and get you another starter. You got to go out and do that too. I mean, they're sitting in a pretty good spot here, hopefully, fingers crossed, if Kevin Gausman is healthy in Seattle. Now, hopefully he doesn't go out there when the heart rate's exploding, because that crowd's going to be going crazy, you know, cheering for the Blue Jays. I know he's a veteran guy, been there and done it before.
I think Kevin Gausman's,
so
that's the reason.
Hopefully he's okay and everything is in line and he's healthy and, you know, you can go for there. That will be, for me, the first step. Making sure he's healthy and everything else probably will fall in place.
Yeah, and, you know, Kevin's made the point that the other pitchers were talking about the four-man rotation. And, you know, Gausman hasn't been able to make his last start because of a side issue. Is that as a result of the fact that Jays had to rely on him more? I don't know. I'm throwing that out there. But we do know that there were some concerns about that. And, you know, there are about 30 people that had their hand in whether or not Alek Manoah was going to come up. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. I mean, when you send somebody down to the pitching lab and when you spend as much energy as the Blue Jays did on trying to get some sort of read on him at the lab, you're going to have a lot of people involved in this decision process. I mean, I'll tell you what, it sure as hell wasn't a results-oriented thing. Because the results weren't good enough to bring him up to the majors. I mean, they just weren't. So that would suggest that, you know, frankly, I'm hoping the people that made that decision know what they're doing. But my suspicion is, and I hope I'm wrong, but my suspicion is that this is the type of thing that's going to take an offseason to correct. And right now, I'm almost at the point, as I said, if Alek Manoah is good enough to contribute, fine. But I'm not waiting for him. I'm not waiting for Alek Manoah. I got to win ball games, and I think that's just where we are. I mean,
Yankees are at, the way they're playing.
Yeah.
You could you know, step on that a little bit and add some
Tampa Bay's come back to earth, and Baltimore's, you know, you keep making
Baltimore's
this point
young.
About Baltimore.
They're
you
young.
Are right, and you know what? Maybe we're seeing a bit of that against the Dodgers. You're
Absolutely.
Right. Baltimore's young. They don't have a bunch of guys that have been there and done it before.
No. Experience matters against good teams.
You know, and we may be seeing a bit of that in this series against the Dodgers.
Sure.
JG and Barry, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks for having me, guys. I think you're saying all the right, you know, words. I'm hearing you speak about winning. You know, the time is now. And I think leadership, they're doing a pretty good job protecting Manoah, except you're right, time's running out. So my suggestion is, you know, if we're going to go for the World Series here, and that's our one goal, you got to create some urgency on the team to perform and win. It's time to think about this kid going in the bullpen, thinking Ryu and Green back. Sorry, kid, you know, this isn't your year. We're going to protect you. We want one or two innings from you, and that's what we're asking you for the rest of the season. And I think that conversation is likely going to happen if Ryu comes back and performs and the trade market, see what happens with what we do. However, I think time's already up with this kid, and to protect
for this
he's
year,
so young
for this year, I think you mean
100%. Yeah, yeah,
right.
I just think that for him to give us that chance in the World Series or playoffs, it's going to have to be in the bullpen, and that's it. No questions about it. And he's got to suck it up, come to work, and give us that one or two innings. And he's got to do it at a high level. And I think time's now to do it. You don't wait. I know they might have to because you don't know what Ryu's going to bring and Green. However, the trade market, I think this might be the biggest trade we have, is bringing him into the bullpen. Anyways, that's my thoughts, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much, JG. People always talk about sticking a guy in a bullpen as if it's, you know, sort of out of sight, out of mind. The problem with Alek Manoah in the bullpen is that if he can't get ahead of hitters and if he can't finish hitters off, he's not going to be any good. Maybe he could fill Mitch White's role. I mean, if push comes to shove. But, you know, when you look at the arms that may be coming back, there's a real chance, you know, frankly, well, I'll ask you this. The Jays go into the playoffs right now. Is Alek Manoah on your roster? Not in mine.
No.
Not
no.
on mine.
No.
And that's now.
You say
yes.
Kikuchi would have a start in the playoffs before Manoah would.
Exactly. Now that's it's, you know, it's July 18th and things can
sure.
change, but that's the problem when you have a situation like this is there really isn't a place to hide a guy. I mean, if you want to, oh, listen, I'll be clear. If you want to protect Alek Manoah, you put him down in the minors for the rest of the year. If that's your concern, you put him down in the minors for the rest of the year and then maybe bring him up in September. But that's, we're clearly not at that point yet. The organization isn't at that point yet. So, you know, it just fingers crossed that the next start looks more like it was in Detroit and a whole hell of a lot less than it was tonight.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if Ryu comes back and gives you 5 1/3 of 2-run ball and wins a baseball game. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
But that's when you start talking about what you're going to do, maneuvering things around. And the bullpen, the velocity thing, Jeff, is a little alarming to me. It's just if the last couple of years when he needed the extra little gear, he could go to it. And that would give him a little vinegar, right, and he would be running off the mound. And, you know, he would throw an elevated 94, 95, occasionally 96. He's not even close to that. I wonder why that is.
And the other thing I think people need to keep in mind about sticking this guy in the bullpen, sticking that guy in the bullpen, sticking him in the bullpen. The Jays' bullpen right now has more swing and miss or chase than any Jays' bullpen since they've been keeping those stats. There are some issues with this bullpen. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we saw that tonight. There are some issues with this bullpen. But in a when John Schneider is able to use his A bullpen and all his ducks are lined up, this bullpen is really good. I think you would probably like a little more depth at the back end. Maybe Chad Green's the guy. Maybe Chad Green sucks up some of those innings right now that poor Eric Swanson's being asked to throw. But you got to be careful because you don't want to completely foul up the way the bullpen is because the bullpen's been pretty good. And it gets back to this point. If Alek Manoah can't contribute, I don't know what you do.
I think it's the big leagues. It's performance driven. If you're performing, you pitch. If you are not, you won't. It's real simple.
Yeah, and you know, and that doesn't mean. I mean, good Lord, if that doesn't mean that 2024 is a write off. Far
Absolutely.
From it.
You're talking far about 23. You're not talking about 24. Yeah.
No, far from it. And Alek Manoah. Alek Manoah clearly going forward. He's clearly going to be a cornerstone for this rotation. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
There just isn't. He's one of your, as John Schneider, he's one of your dudes next year. He just is. He is one of your dudes going into next year.
But this year's not over yet.
But this year's not over yet.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we can't get ahead of ourselves when it comes to Alek Manoah. But I'm sure, I mean, this much we know, he's going to get another start. And I think my friend Mr. Bark has hit the nail on the head. This is the beginning of a competition. It's Manoah, it's Ryu, it's Kikuchi. Very simple.
There you go. Absolutely. It's about winning.
It is. And the best guy, the guy that gives the Jays the best chance to win, is going to be the guy that gets the ball. And the other two dudes, we'll have to figure it out. Right?
There you go.
They just will. You know, as long as we're not getting into a situation where you're risking injury, which I don't think you are, I have to figure it out. 9-1, the Blue Jays have lost to the San Diego Padres. Game 2 of this 3-game series goes tomorrow night, 7:07 at the Rogers Center. Yu Darvish against Jose Berríos. That'll be a good one. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer has arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.